We've been talking about Advent. Christmas is coming. Hope you're excited about it. Hope you look at it and say, wow, what it's really all about. We're going to talk today about the royal family, the royal family. I hopefully can remember the names. How many of you are royal watchers? Like over in England, are your royal watchers? Yeah, your hands better go up over here. Royal watchers. Okay? Is everybody else, nobody else cares? Kind of like me? Okay? Well, you know, there's people who they really are royal watchers. They love the royal. I don't really care much about it. I guess Kate and William. No. William? Yeah, Kate and William were here recently. First service, I just was lost with names. But Kate and William were here, and they brought the, did they bring a little Herkimer, and then they have Max in the oven, right? Is that right? Or no, born? Okay, is it in the oven or born? Okay, in the oven. All right, so, you know, they were here. People love to watch the royals. They watch that, all they do. My wife is a royal watcher, man. She gets all excited about that. And you know, the royals, the thing, it's a big thing about the royals, the lineage, you know, like who's next and who's king and who's queen and who's coming up and, you know, who's going to get what. It's all about the will at all it is, really. But that's just my view. Anyway, so, you know, a number of years ago, in fact, we were in San Antonio, Janet and I, and we were well off. I didn't know Prince Charles was coming, right? Charles? Yeah. Charles was coming, but we were saying, oh, Prince Charles, we happen to be at the same time. And so they were going to be walking from someplace to someplace, and they had to walk across the street. And so my wife, man, there's a barricade. We're standing right there. We're in the front right there. We're a mile away, but we're going to watch the royals cross the street. We really weren't that far away. But, you know, but he's pretty cool. So I sat there and went, is he ever coming? So he stops. He comes down, and my wife, you know, she's getting, oh. She goes, oh, I wish he'd just wave. I wish we could see him. I wish he could just say, you want me to get his attention? That's the wrong thing to say. Yeah, really, you want me to get it? I can get his, there's no problem me getting his attention. So when he gets down the street, man, I start jumping him down and yelling, woo-hoo! I whistle real loud. Sure enough, that Prince Charles and every security guy looked in my direction. I waved at him, he waved back. It was all good, man. It was all good. Royals. Now, my wife missed it because she was so embarrassed. She's going like this. She didn't even see. She didn't see, you know, Prince Charles waving. Charles and I had a moment, man. We were right there. I don't know what that means. I tried, Paul. You know, whatever. Whatever. Yeah, with my fucking finger. Okay. The royal watchers, man, they are big on the whole issue of the lineage and where it goes. And yet we are of a royal family. You and I, if we know the Lord Jesus today, we are of a royal family. And what's nice about it is that we can track our royal lineage through Matthew, through Jesus, all the way back to King David. The royal lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ as he comes forth and as we are born into that and adopted into that family. There's some verses that we use, especially this time of year, but Isaiah 9:6 is probably the most known. It's, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Matthew chapter 2 talks about this same king after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him. 1 Timothy 1:17, what a great verse. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. That is our God, the God of the universe who created us, who longs to have an intimate, dynamic relationship with each one of us. That is our royal lineage. And he comes as part of that royalty and says, I am the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Now this, during the year, 11 months of the year, you probably don't hear a lot about it. Boy, come December, the Prince of Peace. Do we hear a lot about it? All these Christmas cards during this time of year. Peace on earth, they say. All the cards will say peace on earth. We all want peace. Every one of us, in some form or another, we will say we want peace today. It can be, I want peace in my marriage because it's broken. We need to come back to wholeness. We can say we want peace in my job. I'm just unsettled in my job. I just want peace. We can say I want peace in my family. My family is fractured. And how do we gain peace within that? And I just want peace. You've heard the expression, I just want peace of mind. Or it gave me peace of mind. Often we want just that peace of mind because in our mind, it may not be outward, but in our mind, we're just going a different million directions. There are churches today who need peace. There, our government obviously needs peace. Our world needs peace. It's easy to say we want peace. And he was the Prince of Peace. Where is the peace? Did God lie? Was the prophecy not fulfilled when he said he is the Prince of Peace? Well, as Pastor Paul always does, he has to define the term. What is the issue of peace? How do you define term? Most commonly, we define peace as the absence of conflict or the cessation of hostility. We see that as peace. When my life is easy, okay, there's no more conflict. I look around, my kids aren't fighting, we're not fighting, wife's not fighting, dog loves me, everybody, cat, well, we killed it, so it's fine. We're all good. I know, you cat lovers are going to start writing notes. Go ahead, Paul. Okay? We're the cessation of peace, of conflict, so we have peace. But what is the definition of it? We see just a cessation of conflict, but is that really what peace? Is that the peace when he says he's the Prince of Peace? I'm coming that you might have, the world will have conflict, peace on earth. Did he say that? Because it really means that we haven't seen it. What is your definition of peace? If I were to ask you, each one of you would have a definition of what the peace is. When he says peace, you know, do you want peace today? In what areas of your life do you need peace? Now, you need to understand, the world does give a form of peace. The Bible even says, Jesus says, I have come that you might have peace, not as the world gives. The assumption there is the world does give a form of peace. And the world we reconcile and we will judge that point. And some of you rest in the peace that the world gives. You think the world will give you peace if you have money or if you have fame or if you have power. Or how many of our commercials say, if you'll just rest a little bit, if you'll just invest in this, then at the end of life you'll have peace. You can rest today, have peace today, knowing that you paid for disability, knowing that you paid for whatever, knowing all the things. And how much of our advertising, how much of our the things we do out of fear. Oh, it's not peace. We get fearful about it. Some of you rest in possessions and power, and some of us rest in that warm family feeling. If all the family's good, we're all good. We have peace because our family's all together. What is peace? In Jewish life, peace, shalom, wasn't just an absence of conflict. It was wholeness. It was the sense of harmony, completeness. I read about a guy who said, you'll really find peace finish the task. When you bring the tasks and you finish the task and complete the task that you've given, I thought, that's no problem. I can finish off the 2 bags of Lay's potato chips. I can finish off the, you know, Dr. Pepper. No problem. But what is peace? That doesn't bring peace. And the world's form of peace, that it says, here's we have peace. So what is peace? We need to look at it. But the question beyond what is peace, if that's what it is, the cessation of conflict, if there's no more, if that's peace, then the question I have is, where is it? Where is the peace? Obviously, as you look around the world today, in our own life, in our world, in the world structure, in our home structure, in our government structure, peace is fleeting, if at all there. It's not in the world scene. Now, I don't mean to just burst your bubble here, and I hope you don't seem to make your Christmas cards obsolete here, but let me just tell you, Jesus' birth did not bring peace on earth. It didn't. Never was meant to. The Jews today still look for the Messiah. Why? They want peace on earth. They want the Messiah to come that will take away all the opposition and put them in ruler. That's what they wanted back then. They wanted to take the Romans out, Pax Romana gone, and they wanted to put the Jews in charge. They thought that would be peace on earth if we were in control. But Jesus' birth did not bring peace on earth, especially in the political scene. Jesus' birth did not bring healing to every disease for every person. It doesn't happen. In fact, you can just see Jesus' birth caused conflict. It caused conflict. The Magi went to Herod and said, hey, listen, you know, where is this king? Surely you would know about it because you're King Herod. You should know about this king who's born of the Jews. Oh, no, I don't know about that. Did they go back to him and tell him where he was? No. So what did Herod do? Herod said, well, I don't know where they're going to be, so let's just do this. Let's just kill every male child 2 years down and let's just kill them, okay? That's peace on earth. Not for some. Jesus even said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. His coming did not bring, and some of us still have this idea that burst your bubble that peace on earth is going to happen here, and it's not going to happen here. The question today isn't, where is peace? It's not, where is peace? The question is, who is peace? And that is the question that must be answered. Not, what is peace? Just a cessation of conflict or hostility? No. What a weak side of peace. It needs to be that harmony of our life, of a completeness of our life. The question is, who is peace? And peace is only found in the Lord Jesus. John chapter 14 talks about the fact that my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. This peace he leaves with us who are in Christ. Who is peace? It is the Lord Jesus. Philippians 4, I got to read this just so that, because I think it's actually one of the hardest verses in the Bible for me, I will tell you that. Philippians 4. I mean, I look at this and I'm thinking, okay, right. Okay, sure, God. Who is peace? I'll start earlier because this is where it really sets it up. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Wait a minute, Bill. You say there's no peace on earth. There's really not peace on the political scene in our world. And yet we're telling you to rejoice? Yes. And in fact, he repeats it. And again, I say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Let your evidence be evidence to all men. Why? The Lord is near. So not only are you supposed to rejoice about everything, it says, here comes the second hardest verse. Are you ready? Some of you worry warts out there who are going to die tomorrow, because if worry added an inch to your life, you'd live forever, but you will never. Because he said, listen, be anxious for nothing. He didn't really say that, did he? I mean, I can't worry. I can't be anxious about tomorrow. I can't be anxious about my job. I can't be anxious about this. I can't worry about my kids. I can't worry about that. I can't worry about my job. All the things that we get anxious about. Wait a minute. We have drugs that we take to the anti-anxiety, stops the anxiousness. And it's great. But listen, God says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything that hits us, from a world that's not in peace, from everything that hits us, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Why do we need our heart and mind guided? Because we have a worldview that says this is what peace is. And God said, that's not peace at all. Peace isn't found in what you have or where you're at. Peace is found in whose you are. And peace is found when we have a relationship with him. That is peace. In him, we can have peace with God. There are some today who, perhaps even in this room, do not have peace with God. Why? I'm not talking about the peace of God. I'm talking about the peace with God. You may not have peace with God because you've never given him your life. You look from afar. You may see from a distance, but you still haven't placed your dependence upon him, realizing you were a sinner in need of a Savior. This peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, a synopsis verse that's great. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That baby child that came, that born and grew a perfect life, died on the cross, rose again for us, we might be justified, that he's declared us righteous. That is to have peace with God. I often hear people in funeral situations say, well, he made peace with God. Well, I hope so. But you need to make peace with God now, not wait till the end. But peace with God now. You may have peace with God. If you know the Lord is your Savior today, you have peace with God. Your future is maintained. Your future is secure. You have peace with God. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he's done. That he is our peace. We trust in him. But not only peace with God, we have peace of God. And that is something where we all wrestle with. And I think that's where, when we talk about having peace, it's not the peace with God. There are those who have peace with God, but we've never learned the peace of God. To rest in the peace of God. And there's reasons why, I think. Sometimes one reason we don't have the issue of the peace of God in our life and that completeness and that wholeness is because we're under guilt. We're under guilt of our life. We're under guilt. We never realize that God is, we haven't ever personalized the fact that God died for our sin, that he loves us, that he died for us, that Christ covered our sin and gave us his righteousness. And so we walk around with this huge weight on us that we're never going to be good enough, that our sin just weighs us down and bears us down. And you can never have the peace of God when you're running in that round in that guilt mode. Another form, I think, of the peace of God comes from the issue of control. That, man, some people just want to control everything. Some of you want to control everything. And you can't just let go and let God have control of it. You've got to worry about this, worry about that. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? You have to micromanage every little thing in everybody, your life and in everybody else's life. The issue of control. And we can't have the peace of God when I feel like I'm in control. When we step back and say, God, you know we are always trying to plan for tomorrow, which is there's a part of that that's great. But when we try to control that which we have no control, James says, listen, don't say you're going to do this or that tomorrow. You may not get there. It should be only if the Lord wills we're going to get there. And we try to control, and sometimes we just need to wrestle control and let God be God. You cannot be God in somebody else's life. You can't be God in your own life. You can try, but we need to back off and say, I need a piece of God in my life, and I need to say, let control go. There are those as well that are struggling because of works. It is amazing to me in our church, as much as we have been grace and grace and grace, some of you are still bound up in legalism. You're bound up on that spiritual treadmill that says it's about me. I can't have peace with God because I got to work a little harder. Oh, man, I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I need to read the Bible longer. I need to pray a little longer. I need to share Jesus more. I need to do all these things more, more, more. And then I'll be right with God. And then I can have the peace of God when I hit it. Why? You'll never get there because you're not good enough. And the peace of God doesn't come through you. The peace of God comes from Him. To be able to rest from that, to be able to take and step back and say, listen, I can just rest. I don't have to get on that treadmill that says I have to do to try to find His peace. What we need to do is step back and say, God, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for declaring me righteous. Thank you for taking my sin and casting it as far as the east is from the west. Thank you that I have one who stands in my defense for my failures. And God sees me as righteous and justified and holy. Get off the treadmill. But boy, let me tell you, when you're on that treadmill, you'll never have the peace of God because it's based upon you and your work, not based upon His. But there's another form of peace that I think really hits where we live today. Peace with God, obviously, the peace of God, but peace with others. People often say, man, you know, my job would be great if it weren't for people. Or this would be great if it weren't for people. We have to interact with people, don't we? And sometimes peace, we need to have that peace with others. I believe that when you have peace with God and the peace of God in your life, I believe that peace will overflow into peace with others. I think the problem is, when it comes to our relationship with others, is that we feel we have our rights. They don't have any right to treat me that way. Why can they do that to me? And we forecast all of our rights and place upon everybody else. Well, I have the rules. I'm going to make the rules. How dare they? And you can get all bound up in how you feel others should act. You get all bound up and just all bound up in how you think others should live. The reality is, you're bound up over that which you have no control. You cannot control them. You cannot control other people's stimulus. You can only control your attitude and your responses to that. And man, when we start trying to control everybody else, when we get angry about everybody else's responses and don't look at our own, we will have no peace. And yet Jesus says, yes, we're supposed to have peace with God, the peace of God, and that should overflow in our hearts, as Romans 5 says, should overflow in our hearts so that others will see the peace of God in our life, and they will see that peace among us that the world doesn't understand, which will surpass all human understanding, to be at peace with others. I realize people have conflict. But I also realize that many, many times in my office in counseling, people fail to see their part in the conflict. They fail to see their role in the conflict that's being portrayed. They only forecast it on the other person, look what they did, look what they did, look what they did. And never it is look how I responded or look what I did. Whether it be miscommunication, the axiom in counseling that in the absence of communication, communication takes place. Well, I'm just going to write them off. It's amazing to me how many people will say, I'm just going to write them off. And they're going to talk about them again. And then they proceed to tell me for the next 42 minutes about that person. Really? You may see how you've failed to respond when you respond in harshness, impatient. Perhaps you haven't communicated the expectations. You have them, but you've not communicated them. And when you fail to communicate them, frustration comes because you're still holding that person to the expectations you have for them, but they may not even know it. And it's even worse is when you know that they do know it and they may still fail to meet them. The peace with God brings us peace of God. And the peace of God should overflow in our lives to where we value people and we see them the way He does, and we cannot be controlling of their response or of their attitudes. We can only be responsible for us. Not trying to control them, but saying, God, I'd love to have this reconciled and be right. What is the one thing that never fails, folks? What is it? Love never fails. Our response to loving God, as we've looked at earlier, with certainty, loving God and loving others. And our response with peace with others, whether they, no matter what they do to us, is we respond with love. Because love never fails. Today, as we come Do you have a relationship with God? Do you have peace with God? If you're here, you may be here because it's the Sunday before Christmas. Super Saturday was yesterday. It's always a Saturday right before Christmas because I feel a lot of shopping. I thought about yesterday, Super Saturday. I thought, well, it's Super Sunday because we'll get people in churches today that because they got to get on Sunday or they'll fit it in on Christmas Eve, you know. But maybe you're here. Let me just tell you, I'm glad you're here for whatever reason. But do you have the peace with God today? Have you given him your life? Do you know him as your Savior? If you know the Lord as your Savior, it's the majority of you have given your life to Christ, then do you have that peace of God where you step back and say, listen, it's not about my works. It's about knowing that he gives me peace. I don't have to be in the world system of trying to find what peace is all about. And are you loving others? Does that peace exude to others where you value them the way he does? Where you become the visible representation, the manifestation of Christ to others? That's why the birth of the babe, the King, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace, it's whose you are, and he's within you. He's placed his spirit within you. So that when the storm around you is just thrashing away, you have a center, you have a God, you have peace. Because he knows what you need. He's near you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. One day, we will be at peace in its entirety. But right now, we live in a world that's not in peace. But the greatest peace we can have is within us from the Spirit of God. Let's pray. This morning, if there's someone here who doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that today they would take that step, trust in you by faith. Father, I pray that those who do here, we would keep the meaning of the season, the real meaning, and that is to celebrate the birth of a King who brought peace to our lives. Not about a government, not about a system, but to our lives. And may we demonstrate that peace in our life, that solid peace, by loving others and valuing them the way God does. Help us to take the control off of our lives and give it to you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for every person here. May we leave challenged and changed. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Pastor Paul.